Yo, what's good, everybody? This is Super Facts, aka the People's Champ, on the I Am Super Facts podcast. This is right now. It's a special podcast, man. I got my boy, my homie, my dog, R.O.D. Top of the key, popping the three. I got him featured on this episode today, man. This part of the show, we're gonna call this Super Facts Features. So, R.O.D., what's good, man? Speak to the people,
what's
man.
What's up, man? What's up, everybody? How's it going?
So, what's up with you, man? How you been? What's been going on, man?
Good, man. You know, everything's good, man.
That's what's up, man. So, this past weekend, I know you happy. A lot of us Chicagoans. You a Chicagoan. Yeah. But you don't root for the Bears.
I mean, which... I wouldn't necessarily say that, man. You know, it's just one team that I root for before the Bears.
What team is that?
The Dallas Cowboys. How about them? How about them Cowboys?
So yeah, man, my team took that L. Your team got that W. You know, Dak Prescott, he did his thing. And, you know, Zeke running the ball strong. Tell me, you know, what did you take from that game? And, like, what you see in y'all future, man?
What I took from that game is our three studs on offense stepped up. Dak Prescott made big plays, made big throws. Amari Cooper, you know, he stepped up in the game and made big catches. And you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he's the rushing leader. The rushing title is his. So you know, he just did what he's been doing all season. You know, that's just moving them chains. The defense has been. Defense has been stout all year, so you know that was no surprise there. So I'm glad that the Cowboys took care of business as they should have, and now we have a bigger test. You know, we going to Los Angeles, we playing the Rams.
Yeah,
gonna need the Cowboys to the defense is gonna be there, but offense we're gonna need. We played a good game, but we need to improve. I mean, we're gonna have to be more consistent.
Yeah.
The Rams defense has been overrated most of the year.
So too.
But you know, one game they can play up to their potential. So, you know, Dak Prescott's going to have to make big throws again, but make them the whole game. Amari Cooper's going to have another great game, and we want to keep feeding Ezekiel Elliott the ball, but let's not rely on him too much. Let's keep it balanced. Yeah. Let's move that ball around.
Balanced attack.
You know, run Dak. Don't just have him throw. Run him, all right? You know, keep the pressure on the defense.
That's one thing I noticed, man. When I be watching the Cowboys, I noticed, like, Dak really don't scramble like that. He ain't really one of those scrambling quarterbacks. Like, he like to stay in the pocket, you know, get his reads on, you know what I'm saying, make his throws. But, like, what do you got to say to the people that really think like Dak is overrated?
Well, you know, it's like I have like a love and hate relationship with Dak, you know, and like one moment Dak makes a big throw, but the next moment he makes a terrible throw. And it's like, you know, the inconsistency is sometimes there when he's throwing. But, you know, at the end of the day, Dak is a winner. He's a winner, all right? He was the NFC Offensive Rookie of the Year. He had a down year his second year, but a lot of that is due to Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. Then he bounced back this year, and he led us to a division title. So he's got, you know, the second one in his 3 years. So
yeah.
He is a winner. I don't know if he's ever going to improve with his throwing, but you know, he's not overrated. He's right where he belongs. He's a top half quarterback. You know, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. The numbers show it. The wins show it. We're in the playoffs. You know, you don't make the playoffs with bum quarterbacks. Man. You know, so
facts.
Yeah, I hope the Cowboys don't overpay him, but he's gonna get his money. So
like, what is overpay? Like,
overpay him is overpay? Look. He like I said, he's a good quarterback, but he ain't the best of the best. All right.
I mean, is he top 10? Is he top 15?
He should be paid like a top 10 quarterback.
Like a top 10.
He's
quarterback.
You know, he should be paid like a top 10 quarterback. But we not talking Aaron Rodgers money, you know, right. Nothing like that. So, yeah.
Look, I don't want to jinx nothing, I really just need to get, we need to get down to the get down, you know what I'm saying? Are you smelling a Super Bowl? Huh? Is that what you, do you feel comfortable saying that right now?
Look, I like our chances against the Rams.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to say nothing like that. I'm not going to be that drastic. But, hey, listen, we can beat the Rams. And then, you know, New Orleans, it's going to be tough if we have to play them in the Superdome. But let's just take it one game at a time.
Are you basically saying New Orleans is going to beat the Eagles?
I'm saying that. And, you know, we my team is in the NFC East, so you know I'm damn sure not rooting for the Eagles. So go ahead. I mean, to be honest though, let me backtrack on that. It probably would be in our best entrance to play the Eagles. So, you know, maybe hey. Fly, Eagle, fly. You know, now that I think about it, fly, Eagle, fly.
Fly, Eagle, fly.
You know, because
you know how I feel about them motherfuckers. Fuck them motherfuckers, hey, man. Hey. They kiss my ass. You know what I'm saying? I don't fuck with Nick Foles.
You know, it's a better, it's probably a better matchup to play Philadelphia. So, yeah, we going to beat the Rams and then, you know, take it one game at a time. But, you know, if we play the Eagles, yeah, we going to be in the Super Bowl.
Man, but, like, I just want to know this, man. You know, after what happened Sunday night, you know, that Cody Parker character.
Did you find that, man?
Hey, man. I've been looking for that man. You know what I'm saying? They put that... They got that man somewhere hiding, man. We put an APB out on that dude, you know? We got shooters on top of the buildings looking for that man. Like
they, go find
any,
that man.
Any sight of that man. Hey,
go take that the way,
shot.
Man.
Yo,
go
take
that
the
way.
Shot. You know what I'm saying? Take the shot, man. Hey, look, though. You know, have you when you go to work and stuff, man, like when you went to work on Monday, like could you tell it was a somber day? Like was people really feeling lost?
You know, I knew after that doink, it was going to be Heartbreak Hotel. You know, this is the Heartbreak Hotel. So,
ooh, easy,
you know,
easy.
Hey, you know, that's just, hey, you know. But, yeah, I mean, with the type of season the Bears had and, you know, them getting home field advantage for that first game, I mean, fans were hyped for that game, man, you know.
Hyped.
For the missed field goal, for it to go down like that, I mean, yeah, that's you know, it's a huge letdown, you know. Like you said in your last episode, the Bears did exactly what they had to do. Mitchell Trubisky put the team in excellent position to kick the field goal, and like it's the kicker's job. You got one job to do, make that field goal.
Right.
You know, so the Bears have. You know, with that happening, the Bears fans have every reason to be, you know, somber and everything. But you guys have a lot of reasons to be optimistic about the future because the future is bright.
Yes,
you know, so all you guys can do is really just build off this season. I have a question for you. What do you... moving forward, what do you want to see the Bears doing, you know, as far as the draft and just moving forward as far as
honestly,
next season?
Well, when it comes to the draft, we really don't got no draft picks because we gave our draft picks away to get Khalil Mack.
Right.
So, man, which was a genius move. Fuck them draft picks, man. So, but like in the future?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm just going to put it like this, man. What happened Sunday, it's a heartbreaker, dog. That right there just... It's just kills get, you know, your hopes were high and then you let down from a kick. But I'm just gonna have to take the wait and see approach. I can't jump out the window with the Bears like that anymore. From here going forward, I can't do it no more because I jumped out the window. I had us in the Super Bowl. Like I'm not gonna stunt. I had us winning the Super Bowl. I wasn't worried about nobody. And that's facts. The way I was talking, you should have heard how I was talking, dog. Like, I was talking like, man, Money Mayweather, bro. That's, I'm going into the fight game knowing I'm about to win. Hey, man, you know, I seen this before. That's how I was walking up in there. I'm talking mad crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, like I say, hey, I got humbled real quick. Not going to take that approach. I don't know what's the future going to hold. We got to see if Trubisky going, is he going to take a step forward instead of being a one read quarterback, you know, that first read, if it's open, bam, he's good for that. But will Trubisky have his issues at when he got to go to the second or the third or the fourth read, you know, because you can tell from in the beginning of the season, they was trying to let him go. Then, you know, you can tell by, like, after probably the Rams game, you can tell that they were, like, you know, cutting stuff back, and he was becoming, like, a dink and dunk type of, you know, they run about 10 yards, turn around, bam, the ball right there. He wasn't really going down the field like he was in the beginning of the season, because that dude, he's not accurate. Let's right. just put it like that. He's not accurate, man. I never be thinking that he's going to make a completion when he throw the ball down the field. Never. I never think that.
So, obviously, I mean, the playoffs are still going on, and offseason hasn't really started yet.
Yeah.
But as the roster as it is right now, and with, you know, pending moves, the Packers just got a new coach, Matt LaFleur, the Titans' former offensive coordinator. And then Minnesota's still there.
Yeah.
As the roster currently is, do you think they should make moves, or do you think are you confident enough that this team could repeat as NFC North champions?
I mean, I think they can repeat.
Well, we know they can compete. Can they win?
I think they can repeat. My thing is, I think they need one more offensive player. I think they need one more offensive player, preferably a wide receiver, another wide receiver, which I don't have no issues with they wide receivers. I just don't think we have that. I think they need to get a tall receiver. I want us to get a tall receiver. You know what I'm saying? That can, when it's third and six or something like that, and somebody that can just
red zone receiver,
man. That's what I think we should. I mean, it was a big loss not to have Trey Burton in the lineup either. But you know, we still had that game, man. Yeah. Ain't no excuses being made.
Yeah.
The kicker went out there.
Yeah.
They froze him. He still had a chance to make the field. Like I said, man, you get paid to do one thing, bro. Like I said, what do you... I got somebody on the show right now, and I just want to ask this question, bro. What do a kicker do in practice?
Man, practice kicks.
Exactly. You got one job, bro. Make the kick. I don't want to hear about these celebrities saying, yo, you don't know how hard it is to kick to kick a field goal. I will pay somebody $10,000 right now if they can go make a 40-yard field goal. Hey, man, I didn't sign up to kick field goals. This is not my skill. I didn't practice all my life to be a kicker. This dude has. So we expect this dude, when the game is on the line, you getting paid $9 million. What kicker gets paid $9 million? Man, what happened? Man, I need to calm down, man.
At the end of the day, you know, some kickers, are built for the moments, and some aren't. You know, everybody's not gonna be Vinatieri. Everybody's not gonna be I don't know. Vinatieri's the only one I know that's made a lot of big kicks, but you know, everybody's not gonna be Vinatieri. So you know, you gotta be ready for them moments as a kicker. You know, like it's your job, man.
Yeah, man. So we're gonna have to stop talking about that, because I can see my nerves is getting bad. My eyes are starting to twitch. You know, I need to go find that, man. You know what I'm saying? But in the AFC, man, who you got coming out the AFC, man?
Whew. I'm going right now. I am picking the Chargers to go up to Foxborough and beat the Patriots. And I'm picking Kansas City to beat Indianapolis. But for any Kansas City fans, Andrew Luck's hot, and he's one of those quarterbacks. I think he's an elite quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime you play an elite quarterback, and they're hot, they can go up to your stadium, and they can upset you. So I got Kansas City, but Kansas City fans, be wary.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna pick who I got coming out of the AFC, okay. Because I think the Chargers. I got the Chargers beating the Patriots. I got Kansas City winning, and based off that last game that the Chargers and Kansas City played on Thursday night, that could be a pretty good game, and that could go either way. So yeah. I'm not gonna make a pick on the AFC champion right now.
All right, to switch topics a little bit, you know, but we still gonna stick with this with sports. You know what I'm saying? What do you think about Derrick Rose and this All-Star votes? What do you think about that?
Well, let's be honest for a second. It's a lot of those votes are sentimental votes. Derrick Rose is having an All-Star season, but should Derrick Rose have more votes than James Harden? No, he shouldn't. So, I actually do think he's having the All-Star season. I'm not sure if he's going to make it, because there are a lot of players having great seasons and a lot of players who are having All-Star season, and he might just fall.
So wait.
He might be at the bottom.
You just said you don't think he's going to make it.
I don't think he's going to make it. I don't think it's, as you should. He's having the All-Star season, but I don't think it's an if I had to pick one player from Minnesota, I'd pick Karl Anthony Towns before I picked Derrick Rose.
Okay.
Karl Anthony Towns averaging 22-12. You know, so like I said, a lot of those votes I feel are sentimental. He's having an All-Star season, you know. But you just never know. It's still about 2 weeks left. But he's having an All-Star season, like I said. You know, I would be happy to see him there. He's definitely an All-Star type player. So yeah.
Man, but it's something that I really do want to ask you, man. And I know you're a fan, and but I just want to get your perspective on LeBron James calling himself the GOAT.
You know what? I don't have a problem with it. When you get to the place that LeBron James is at, and he's in the conversation, and he's striving to be the best. I expect that. You're supposed to believe you're the best. You're supposed to believe you're the greatest. Okay. Nobody's going to... I never hear winners say, you know, I'm second best, or I'm striving to be second. You're striving to be number one. That's why we play the game. But with that said, do I think it's true? Of course not. You know, that title...
Who's your goal?
Michael Jordan, man. Jordan. You know, so but yeah, you're supposed to feel like that. And you know what, and what he was saying is, after I beat Golden State 73-9, at that moment I felt like that made me the greatest. And let's be real, that's his defining moment. Yeah. That's his defining moment, as far as, you know, he got the two titles with the Heat, but you know, that he had Dwayne Wade, he had Chris Bosh. You know, we know how that went down.
Yeah.
But we talking about, like, yo, his defining moment. He put Cleveland on his back along with Kyrie, and they got the job done. That's Kyrie Irving's defining moment. So that at that moment I would feel like I'm the greatest too. We did the unthinkable. So I have no problem with it. You're supposed to believe you're the greatest. And what people need to stop having a big uproar about is a lot of great players think that. You don't think Kobe Bryant think he's the greatest? You don't think Michael Jordan thinks he's the greatest? Hey, you say it, you think it. It's just about a mentality. Some people voice their mentality. Some people don't say nothing, you know? So it's nothing wrong with it. Okay. You know, let that man be great.
I respect that on respect. That, you know what I'm saying? So, like, okay, so with that being said, is as we speak right now, you know what I'm saying? At this very moment, is LeBron James the best player in the NBA right now? As we speak?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think about James Harden?
Well, here's the thing. James Harden's been on the tear. And he's been on the tear. Houston started off very slow. Slow start, not the same team that was there last year. And they weren't even in the top eight, the playoffs. But James Harden has put the team on his back. As of today, they're a fifth seed. I think James Harden's playing great. But my issue, well, not really an issue. A lot of things have raised my eyes. Comments. A couple of weeks ago, Chris Paul said James Harden's the best offensive player he's ever seen. Then last week, Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey said he may be the greatest offensive player ever. And so it's not really a issue that I have. I don't agree with it, but it's more of a question. Who is the best offensive player you've ever seen, and what is the criteria for being the best offensive player you've ever seen? I'll let you go first.
Oh, man, slow down, killer. You know what I'm saying? That's a good question, fam. But that's too easy, though, you know, because the best offensive player I ever seen is Michael Jordan, hands down. I mean, I ain't trying to be biased, but it just is what it is. Michael Jordan is the greatest, the best offensive player that I ever seen watching the game. I mean, he could get to anywhere. This is just like him hitting the game winning shot. You know he's getting the ball. He's still going to get to his spot. He's still going to get the shot off. He's still going to make it.
Like, so what's
that's too easy.
What's your criteria?
Criteria?
When you're talking about just complete offensive, he can't
basically
be guarded.
Getting to any spot that you want to get to on the court. And which James Harden gets to any spot he wants.
And does it matter if it's with or without the ball?
Nah, you got to be able to move without the ball as well.
Okay.
You got to be able to move without
and
the ball.
And I agree with that. For me, like Jeff said, it's Michael Jordan, and then it's Kobe Bryant as well. You know, Kobe Bryant modeled his game after Mike, so I'm going to put them two in there. When you're talking about, for me, when you're talking about complete offensive game, shoot, pass, dribble. But we know those three things. That's the triple threat. But when we're talking about Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, we always forget their footwork was so impeccable. Their post game as guards was so impeccable. So just like Jeff said, they can get anywhere on the court and they can score. All right. And I don't like to compare errors,
right,
but we do have to acknowledge that today's game is more so generated and catered to the offense. Michael Jordan, we know what type of error he played in. Hand check, all that. I think Kobe played in that too. So a lot of that is eliminated, and it's free range for these players to you know, have more freedom to get to the hole and score more easily. You know, another thing that I like to throw out there is efficiency. James Harden, I get it. He's a high volume shooter. He doesn't have much help right now. Chris Paul is down, but man, he's not always efficient. And that counts for me too. That counts for me too. So I don't know. And I don't know if he's in the conversation. If he keeps going, he's definitely going to be in the conversation.
Which conversation?
Of being one of the top offensive players of all time. But another thing, this is just regular season. James Harden, I mean, I'm not going to say he shrinks in the playoffs, but he has definitely had some low moments.
Watch out there now.
I stand. I firmly believe that Houston should have won Game 7 last year in the Western Conference Finals, but they settled for threes. The best offensive player that Chris Paul and Daryl Morey has seen was settling for threes. Do you think Kobe Bryant would have settled for threes? No. Do you think Michael Jordan would have settled for threes? No.
What they would have done, man?
They would have won the game. They would have done whatever it took. They wouldn't have gave the defense what the defense wanted. Here's the thing about Houston. Well, here's the thing about other teams. When you're playing Golden State, you're not going to out Golden State, Golden State.
Facts.
So when you're shooting those threes and you're not making them, that's to Golden State's favor. Because Golden State's going to make their threes.
Right.
You know, so you can't out Golden State, Golden State. You got to find a different way to beat them. And I feel like if in that game seven, if the Rockets would just went to the hole, just, I mean, half them time, they would have won that game. And let's just stay on James Harden. Is he the best offensive player to you in the game right now?
Yes. I think he is. I mean, it's either between him and KD.
Right.
Oh, and Steph.
Right.
I can't forget about Steph, but the way he is able to get to the free throw line, which is James Harden, is a plus. That's why I think he's probably the best offensive player in the game right now. The way he's able to just draw fouls with ease, it's crazy because we know the refs are humans. We know the refs are they got outside lives. They're not robots. I know they hear and they listen to the same things we listen to. So it's crazy for me to see when James Harden is playing basketball and he's driving to the hole and he's getting these fouls. Y'all know what he's doing. It's like some of them are legit fouls, but some of them is from stuff that he's creating. He's creating the contact.
Yeah.
So
it's just
the best offensive player to me.
He's a master at drawing fouls. I mean, if the ref call it, I mean, I'm not mad at you. But like you said, I'm on the fence if he's the best offensive player right now. I mean, to me, like you said, it's KD and then it's Steph. Steph is just maybe smaller, but it's not really one thing to me that James Harden does better than Steph. Maybe gets to the hole, he's bigger, but Steph's the greatest shooter I've ever seen, so he doesn't shoot better than Steph. Steph's ball handling skills are just as good. So and Steph can play point guard. He can pass. You know, he just has the luxury of having a facilitator, a utility player, and Draymond Green. So he doesn't have to have the ball in his hands. But I think Steph is offensive skill set is just as good as James Harden. Actually, better because Steph is. He's a marksman. He crossed the half court. He's a threat. I don't think James Harden has that type of jump shot. And Steph's more efficient. Then you have KD, who's 7 foot, can shoot just as good as James Harden. The handle might not be as good, but I mean, yeah. So you got a 7-footer with guard skills, and he's efficient. So, you know, it's just up in the air. James, like I said, James Harden's on the tear. He's definitely, right now, I think, the front runner for the MVP. And
no doubt.
So we'll see.
Okay,
but that's just my take on James Harden. And go vote for that man.
Hey, look, though. Alright, we gonna stay home for this one, though. What's going on with the Chicago Bulls, man?
Like, well, you know, I mean,
it's a graveyard.
The Bulls are 10-30 tomorrow.
Hey, what?
10-30.
Man.
10-30. They play tomorrow, so it'll be officially the halfway mark of the season.
How much them tickets is, man?
Yeah, they still expensive. Hey, they still expensive.
How sway? How?
They still expensive. But the question I want to pose is, like, what direction are the Bulls going in your eyes? And is it a winning direction? I mean, are you confused as a fan? What is the organization doing?
Look, man, I'm very confused. I have no idea, bro. Like, I don't have a clue what Garpax is doing. I don't know when, like, when they signed certain players, like when they signed Campaign, I don't know what the hell that was. Then I don't know what, I just don't understand anything. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Are they losing on purpose to get a high draft pick? They want to get Zion? Do they want to get RJ? I don't know what they want to do, man. Like, I've been boycotting the Bulls. I'm gonna keep it 100 with you, man. I haven't been watching the Bulls. I can honestly say I haven't watched a whole game this season.
It's hard to watch.
It's bad to watch. Even though, like, I've seen the highlights, I've seen they've had some exciting games though. You know, they just had a good game against the Pacers a couple days ago. I seen they had went into overtime.
So would you say that maybe the Bulls, I mean, maybe the season's going the way the season's going because of the injuries? I mean, I do.
What you count? Bobby Portis?
I'm counting Bobby Portis. I'm counting Chris Dunn. I'm counting Markkanen. So I'm counting that.
You counting that, but what would their record be if nobody was hurt from the beginning?
Well, I have to say that I think they'd be a little bit better. But the question is, when all those guys get back, I think they all are back. They're going on the 5-game West Coast trip starting tomorrow. Yeah, like, I think they're going to go. I mean, if they go 2-3, I think that'll be a good trip. So I don't.
Are they going to change? And then are they, what I mean, they going to so, do with the head coach position? They so, going to so the change question, coaches?
So, like, the question is, when they all come back and they get to play together, I think they're going to play a little bit better. Would you want to see the Bulls win games, or are you of the mindset, let's just unofficially tank and, you know, getting these Zion sweepstakes or tank, these man. RJ Barrett sweepstakes and try and get a pick and go from there? What would tank. You like to see?
Just tank, man. Just go ahead, man. You at a point of no return right now, man. You're at the bottom of the barrel. What the about dirty shirt at the bottom of the dirty clothes sack.
How do you feel about Jim Boylan?
Who?
Our coach, Jim Boylan.
Never heard of him. But nah, Jim Boylan, man, he came in and it seems to me that he wanted to be like this tough guy, this tough coach, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if these young dudes responding to that, you know? You got to understand, we dealing with a different era of basketball. He came from a great organization where you could probably do that with vets, you know what I'm saying? But you dealing with a bunch of millennials that they not taking kindly to that. So I don't think he's the best coach for the Bulls. I think the Bulls need to get
because one thing I've noticed, and I've always posed the question to myself, why don't the Bulls go after like a big name coach? Why are they so adamant on getting these no name coaches, assistant coaches who people haven't heard of? I mean, we found the gem in Tom Thibodeau. We did. But the Bulls have never went after a big name coach. Mark Jackson is out there. Big name coaches that are proven and can turn a team around. And I don't know. I guess the answer to that, in my opinion, is Garpax wants to run the coach. They want to run the show. They want to tell the coach what to do. I just read a few days ago, John Paxson and Doug Collins have a meeting with Jim Boylan to tell him how to find ways to improve the offense. John Paxson? I mean, I can see Doug Collins. John Paxson, go in the front, go back upstairs to the skybox.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know. I honestly, as a fan, am confused. It's tough to watch Bulls games. You just never know what direction they're going in. They do develop players. I would give them that. They've developed players.
Like, who?
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler? Who developed Jimmy Butler?
James Johnson.
Who developed Jimmy Butler?
I think the Bulls are good at
the Bulls developed Jimmy Butler, or did Jimmy Butler develop Jimmy Butler?
Well, I mean, they find the Bulls. To me, the Bulls are...
And who else you say?
James Johnson.
Who was that?
He played for the Bulls. I think he plays for Miami now.
Yeah, he played for Toronto. He played. Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, look, man. Don't be bringing
the Bulls. To me, the Bulls develop players. To me, the Bulls develop players. They let them go, and they become better. Better once they leave the Bulls.
When we do the I Am Super Facts podcast, man, we don't talk about bums. We don't talk about dudes that I don't even know. Is he starting?
Who, James Johnson?
Yeah.
He plays.
Is he starting, man?
He plays. Hey, I believe he starts, though.
Hey, go find that, man, dog. Hey. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know about no James Johnson, man. I don't know about the Bulls developing players. All I know is when Thibodeau was there, okay, I can see you saying this. When Thibodeau was there, Thibodeau was taking bums and making them look like, you know, when they was competing against the Miami Heat when Derrick Rose was gone. What was the little guy name they had that LeBron dunked over his head?
John Lucas.
John Lucas was looking like he could be a starter on another team when he was coming in, hitting shots, and he thinking he was.
But that's
man.
That. But is that developing, or is that just getting the most out of your players? I feel like that's getting the most out of your players.
I respect that. When you saying develop, that mean like they can leave us and then go somewhere else.
Yes, I've seen like it too many times. The Bulls have let players go and then they kind of leave and they're like, man, what was that at? Like, you know, James Johnson.
Mark,
what was that at?
The other dude who played for the New Orleans Pelicans now?
Etwan Moore.
Not Etwan Moore. The one Bobby Portis punched.
Oh, Nikola Mirotic. Yeah, Mirotic. Well, you seen glimpses of good things in Mirotic, but James Johnson, where was that at? You know, that's the question I was asking when he went to other teams, was playing better. Even Tony Snell, to a certain extent, is plays a little bit better now that he's on a different team. So
I think the Bulls expected too much out of Tony Snell. I don't think they was expecting Tony Snell to just come in and just be that shooter, be that defensive player that they needed, and it just wasn't him. It just wasn't him. Even with McDermott, they blew that with McDermott. They could have had Jokic right now.
Yes.
But they decided to do a trade or whatever, get McDermott, and McDermott didn't turn out to be. We wanted him to be the next Cal Korver.
Yes.
It didn't work out. You know, didn't pan out. I just think as an organization, I think the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, who's in control now, or is it his son now? I just don't think he cares enough about the Bulls. It's like, here, Gar Foreman and John Paxson, y'all in charge. Y'all just do whatever y'all want to do. What we going to focus on is these White Sox, which they at the bottom of the barrel as well.
Hold on now.
Hey, man, it just is what it is, bro.
The future is bright.
Hey, fam, I know personally that you didn't just walked up to the White Sox guaranteed field or whatever they call that trash over there. You just walked up and just got you a ticket, and you're sitting in pretty good seats. I know that for a fact. I've seen you on TV catch a foul ball and cheer like Barry Bonds just hit the ball and you caught it.
The future's bright, man. Eloy Jimenez, man.
Are y'all going to get that boy down there from the Nationals?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if they're still going after Bryce Harper. I know they've signed a couple of players who've been linked to Manny Machado. But either way, I mean, it'll be great. It'll definitely jumpstart the rebuild. I mean, make the rebuild push a little faster. But even if we don't get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, the future is bright. Eloy Jimenez is going to be coming up in the spring, so yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, I gotta put a disclaimer out there for a second on the I Am Super Facts podcast. You know, we don't talk baseball. We wait till the springtime to probably talk baseball.
Well, you brung it up.
But yeah, I did bring it up. But I just want to apologize to the listeners out there, man. Baseball is not one of my fortes. It's not one of my specialties. And that's one thing I'll probably try to stay away from. But hey, KD, Is he going to stay with Golden State, or is he going to find his way to New York City, boss?
Nah, I don't know, man. A lot of times when we do these speculations, just be way too early. I like to just let the season pan out and wait till that time to come. You know, free agency. I don't care. I mean, do whatever's best for him. You know, at the end of the day, KD's a great player. Wherever he goes, or if he stays, that team is gonna be great. Yeah, man. It's just too much speculation when it comes to free agency.
Yeah.
So I just let it. I don't really. It's January. I don't buy too much into it until July, and it sparks an interest.
Yeah. So like, all right, ROD, man. Yo, I want to thank you, bro, for coming on the I Am Super Facts podcast.
No problem. Show, anytime, man.
Hey, man. This knowledge you just spit out there, man, it was golden. You know what I'm saying? I know people that's going to listen to this podcast, once they get done listening to it, they're going to feel like they just learned something about sports, man. You know, you always been like that, man. And hey, all I'm going to say is, man, keep it on, man. Keep it on, man.
Tune in Saturday, baby.
Hey, man.